In a time when truth is censored, one name stands out. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, the relentless seeker of knowledge and defender of freedom. Explore groundbreaking findings at drtenpenny.com. Ignite your mind with riveting podcasts, explosive articles, research-driven substacks, webinars, ebooks, and more. In an era plagued by environmental toxins and vaccine-related exposures, Dr. Tenpenny has expertly crafted a selection of safe detox protocols that facilitate profound healing at a cellular level. It's time to cleanse, rejuvenate, and restore your body vitality. With heart damage on the rise, Dr. Tenpenny introduces nationwide ECP therapy to repair hearts and achieve optimal health. Seize the opportunity and embrace the wealth of resources, information, and health recommendations awaiting you at drtenpenny.com and become a Tenpenny podcast member to join our mission in the quest for uncensored truth, the health of our nation, and medical freedom.
Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and I want to extend a warm welcome to everyone who's joining us here for our weekly open forum question and answer we call Morning Coffee with Dr. T. I've been doing this now for a couple years. I would say of all the different podcasts that I do, either that I'm the host or I'm the guest, I really like this one the best. So I hope that you come with lots of questions, lots of things to talk about. Remember to format your questions in a general way because I can't give specific medical advice through the internet or to you. So just make your questions be generic so that they can be helpful to everyone who might be listening. Boy, there is a lot in the news going on, a lot in the news just in the last couple of days. Yesterday, that article just dropped about the autism rate. It's staggering, just absolutely staggering and unbelievably sobering that the rate of autism in boys is 1 in 20. Nationwide, it's 1 in 31. For boys, it's 1 in 20. And in the state of California, it's 1 in 12. You know, Dr. Stephanie Seneff has been saying for years that she thought that by the year 2030, it would almost be every child. There was a really, really good Substack that James Lyons-Weiler put out that has lots of charts and graphs. We've posted it, and it needs to be reposted and reposted and reposted. And it needs to be printed and mailed to every one of those senators, particularly Pocahontas, Elizabeth Warren, and Cassidy, and let them know vaccines do cause autism. This is not a genetic or we can diagnose it better sort of thing. And now it used to be more targeted or more little black boys were the ones that had the increasing autism rates. And now it's white boys. So either group, whether it's black or white, it's a travesty. And whether it's a boy or a girl, it's a travesty. But this is going to affect all of our professions going forward because they estimate that the IQs are less than 85. And, you know, to go to medical school or dental school or to be an engineer or an astronaut, you need an IQ, you know, upwards to 130 to 140. Now, they also said that maybe this wasn't the best standard to test a cognitive ability because kids, these autistic kids, these eight-year-olds have trouble reading. And the movie Spellers and the whole idea of spelling has just uncovered that a lot of these kids are absolutely IQ brilliant, but they have lost their ability to communicate. So that's the kind of the opposite side of that coin. But this is really a bigger travesty than you can possibly, than anybody in our stupid political system is understanding. Or if they're just so bought off and they don't care about the future of this country and the future of our children to see this autism rate skyrocket. It affects future professions. It affects national security because they won't be able to be in the military to guard our borders. They won't be able to be politicians. They won't be able to do much of anything at this rate because many of those kids have IQs of less than 80. This should be screamed across every news outlet, every social media outlet, every single person in Congress. This should be a full out, as big or bigger of a national emergency than all of the aliens coming across our southern border. This is such an incredibly sobering a deal. And then you couple that with all the millions of people that are injured and on disability or are dead because of the COVID jabs. We have got to get involved. Every single person listening to this today and listening to this in the future, I hope that this is a wake-up call and a ring-the-bell method that you will say, how do I get involved? Who do I contact? Let your fingers do the walking. Figure out some places that sound interesting and go try them out and get involved to make people understand what a national emergency this is with this autism rate. And what is happening with our jab, with those jabs? Because it seems like, you know, ever since I did the 28 Mechanisms of Injury course, which was in July of 2021, the 40 Mechanisms of Injury, that I had already identified 40 ways that the COVID jabs could make you chronically sick or kill you in July of 2021. This is April of 2025, almost 4 years later. And these articles are coming out and it's like they're explosive and everybody's like, oh, now look at this disaster. Oh, now look at this disaster. And I will tell you that most of them I had identified already in July of 2021. So now we have a 37% decreased life. They now say that if you've had two or more COVID jabs, you've just shaved off 37% of your long-term, of your longevity. So that if you got a jab and you were in your 20s and life expectancy was supposed to be 80, now it's carved down to around 50. And it's going to get worse. And there's doctors still advocating for these and pushing them for children and pregnant women. It just blows my mind that now we have a 37% reduction in life expectancy in people that have had two or more jabs. We've now found out that pancreatic cancer survival rates are decreased by 50% if people have had a COVID jab. We have, you know, now identified more than 86 different brain injuries and brain diagnoses in people that have had the jabs. I did a 2-minute video on that that got, I don't know, maybe 8,000 or 9,000 views just a couple of days ago. It's a jaw-dropping thing to know that these psychiatric illnesses are really, really bad. And what they're finding are things that are, that people have dementia, Alzheimer's, suicidal and homicidal thoughts. So what about all these murders and things that are coming? Are those people, when are we going to start associating and actually asking the question, were these people a COVID injected? Because years and years ago, this was like 20 years ago, I was working with somebody who lived in Alaska at the time who was trying to promote a bill that when children died of sudden infant death syndrome or they died under the age of one, that it would be required to have their vaccination record attached to their death certificate so that people could go in and review it and see if there was an association between SIDS and the death rate. And we could not get that bill passed, which is another thing that just came out this week. Dr. Paul Thomas was saying that he did a review and found that 97% of children that died of SIDS had their vaccines within 48 hours prior to when they died. And the other 3% of people died it was another period of time after that. And we've known since that Vera Shribner wrote all this information back in the 70s, maybe the 80s, about cot death, she called it. At that point in time, she called it cot death. We now call it SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome. This poisoning, you know, I made a statement last week, and I've made it on several of the podcasts that I've been on and had, that I'm not going to talk about the pediatric vaccination schedule anymore. We're going to call it what it is. It is the pediatric scheduled poisoning program. You know, three vaccines, you know, moms get up to four shots while they're pregnant, five if they also are Rh negative and get a Rogam, and they'll get two Rogam shots. And then three shots right at birth and seven shots each at 2, 4, 6 months, and then 7 to 9 shots at 1 year. And if you know the ingredients or have some, even a vague idea of what the ingredients are, you will agree this is system. This isn't a pediatric health visit and a well baby check where, parents who are new parents should be learning about things like milestones and when should they be picking up their head, when should they be rolling over, when is they should start to talk, when what sort of things do foods get introduced over time, answering their questions about rashes and fevers and things that kids just get. Instead, it's just an opportunity to poison. An opportunity because it's a vaccination visit, and it's an opportunity for these pediatricians to poison your children. I'm going to be stronger and stronger about this now, particularly with this autism rate. 1 in 12 boys in the state of California are now on the are now autistic or on the autistic spectrum. We can't scream loud enough about this, people. I've been doing this now in September of this year. It will be for 25 years. And when I say I put in more than 50,000 hours of research and study into this, that's not an exaggerated number. In fact, it's probably on the low side. Because the only time I'm not reading about this, writing about this, talking about this, is when I'm asleep. Seriously, my team knows it. My good friends know it. Anybody that follows me knows it. And it's now time to engage all of you to start screaming it from the rooftops and don't care what people say back to you. I mean, look, you just Google my name and they drag me across the internet and call me all kinds of names, misinformation, liar, tinfoil hat, conspiracy theorist. I don't care. I just remember when I was about 7 or 8 years old, I got picked on a lot by the mean girls in my school. And my mom used to always say to me, "Sticks and stones can break your bones, but names can never hurt you." Keep that in mind as you continue to sow seeds. And the more you sow, remember, it's 1 in 4 by the good book in the Bible. And you talk about, look, if you don't know it, look it up and reread it. The parable of the sower in the Bible. You can just Google it. It'll take you right to that section in the Bible, in the Gospels, where Jesus talks about the parable of the sower. It's 1 in 4 seeds, 1 in 4 falls on good soil and grows up and bears fruit. That's 25%. So if you want to have a big forest and you want to have a lot of seeds grow up and bear a lot of fruit, you got to plant a lot of seeds because only 25% are going to germinate and produce fruit. So it's time for everybody to get busy. And I know a lot of you have. And a lot of you kind of carefully say things to people with these numbers that came out in this autism article. And I think I can't really see what you've posted up there, Cookie. But if you've posted that article by Jane, that Substack, which is really well written and highly documented by James Lyons-Weiler, who's in our circles, it's a must read and a must share. And there's, all kinds of things that are coming out. Bobby Kennedy supposedly, well, not supposedly, he did say at the cabinet meeting, the last public cabinet meeting, that he's going to have an answer to the autism, what's causing autism, by September of 2025. What am I thinking of? Yes, by September of this year, that they're going to have an answer. Well, this article and this release is absolute. Look at those numbers. Look at that graph. Look at what has happened. And keep going down a little bit farther. A little bit farther. You look at those numbers. Keep going. That is California. And it was in 2016 when SB 277 was passed, which took away the right to refuse. California became equal to Mississippi and West Virginia that only had medical exemptions. And then they took away the medical exemptions too. There is no exemptions to anything in California. You just have, and it was there. And, Senator Pan, who sort of floated off into the distance, we don't hear that name anymore, was the one who pushed this through. I hope he's enjoying his fat pension plan somewhere off into the sunset somewhere, the pharmaceutical that he did the bidding of the pharmaceutical industry. And It took away the parents' right to refuse. So there was California had always had a really liberal philosophical exemption out there. There were many, many millions of kids that were completely unvaccinated or only selectively vaccinated, millions of them. And now suddenly they had to all be caught up and they had to get all these doses and up to date. And I'm sure you guys heard the story, this is a few weeks ago now, where a young child was given 12 vaccines on one day and died. And I always wonder what happens in those doctor's rooms when something like that happens. Do they just go, oops, sorry. We didn't mean to kill your kid. Happens sometimes. What do they say? And how do they live with themselves? How do the nurses that inject all this stuff into them, how do they live with themselves? How do the doctors sleep at night after they've killed someone, ostensibly trying to help them? Guess you can see I'm a little wound up today because these things are just driving me crazy because I've been thumping the pavement about this for almost 25 years, and my whole thing has always been to try to get ahead of the curve, get people to ask simple questions. What's coming through that needle? And why do I need to get so many on the same day? So that you can bill more, doctor? So that I can comply with your COCASA app, your COCASA software out there on your billing software, so we don't need to make any exceptions? Why do I need to get 5 shots in one day? And if they come in and say, oh, it's only 1 shot today, make sure you ask what's coming through that needle because that 1 shot may be a combination shot with 6 vaccines in it. So you're still getting 6 vaccines in one day, even though you're only getting 1 jab. We have to be louder, broader, braver, bolder to actually get ahead of this curve, or there'll be no brains left in our children. And that's just the way that it is. So I'm sorry I was so wound up about that this morning. No, I don't. I'm not sorry. I'm not going to apologize for that. I'm just really, really fired up about these revelations about the autism rate and also this 37% reduction in life expectancy, and that the jabs are getting worse. And then, of course, there's the story that's been all over the internet. I probably had 12 people send this to me, of this young couple with 5 children, who the mom took the baby in for a well baby visit, which is why you can't you, stop it. Don't go to well baby visits. The only time a pediatrician, unless you've got a good pediatrician and somebody that's going to train you and is not using it for an opportunity to vaccinate. The only time you need to see a pediatrician is somewhere in the first 6 weeks of life, someone that's knowledgeable about newborns, whether that's a pediatrician, a family doctor, a nurse practitioner, a trained chiropractor, a naturopath, an osteopath, somebody who is familiar with newborn physiology needs to examine that child for congenital problems. Congenital heart disease, congenital hip dysplasia. It needs a good, thorough physical exam somewhere in the first 6 weeks of life. Then, after that, take care of your baby at home. You can print off the growth charts off the internet. You know how to take a tape measure and wrap it around their head. You know how to hold, lay it on the table and from the head to the feet on the back. And keep a little chart yourself. And then you stand on the bathroom scale. Look down at the scale, see how much you weigh, then have someone hand you the baby and see what scale reads now. Do the simple math, and that tells you how much the baby weighs. And you can do that little chart too to see that they're growing. And the only time you need to see then a pediatrician is if something isn't right. They're not growing in a certain way. The head circumference is exponentially expanding or not growing at all. Or they're not getting longer, or they're not gaining weight. And most of those things can be discussed with your mother and your grandmother or your aunt or your sister or somebody that knows better. Get a couple of good books. There's the book that Dr. Mendelsohn wrote, I believe, in the 80s, How to Raise a Healthy Child in Spite of Your Pediatrician. Do a little reading. We've got an enormous amount of courses at on our site. And you can find those at learningforyou.org. Pediatric courses, how to read a package insert. Lee Merritt does courses for us there. We have Kirk Elliott has done a big series of courses on money, which right now it's really important to be paying attention to your money. Spend a little money and take a little time and get educated. And don't abdicate that baby or that grandbaby over to somebody there in a white coat that you assume they've done their homework because they most likely have not. So this case out of Massachusetts, this young mom, I believe the baby was 9 months old, took her into the pediatrician. The pediatrician was lab is called a reporting pediatrician. Do they have that in Massachusetts? Is that different than other states? I had never heard that term before. I'd read the news article. And she didn't want to vaccinate. And they have a religious exemption in Massachusetts, which she exercised. And the doctor turned her in and reported her for not vaccinating. And CPS was coming after that family to take the children away because they were unfit parents. Even though they were lovely children, I believe they were 10, 9, 6, 5, and then the baby. And so they went to Texas and they were chased across state lines and dragged back to Massachusetts and charged with kidnapping their own children. What kind of a country are we becoming? Oh, it's great what DOGE is doing and closing up the borders and but we really haven't seen a lot, really. We've had a lot of promises about the Epstein files being released. We've had promises about what to really track down the money where DOGE has found all of these billions of dollars where they've been, and they've gone to NGOs, and then the NGOs like ferret it back into senators' pockets. I did hear a little clip last night of Elon saying, you know, it's just a curiosity that someone that's in Congress and makes somewhere between $175,000 and $200,000 a year, which I don't understand. They're only in session 90 days a year. Gosh, I think I'd like a job that pays me 200 grand a year that I don't have to work 90 days a year. Wouldn't you? Those are our monies paying those jokesters up there. And how is it that if you're only making $200,000 a year and you've been there, even if you've been there for 10, 15 years, but now you have a net worth of $100 million like Nancy Pelosi does? Or Chuck Schumer of $81 million, and the list goes on and on and on. Where so many of these senators that have been there for a while have net worths in the tens of millions of dollars. So I hope that that gets tracked down. I hope that somebody goes to jail because I think that what the American people are needing right now is some accountability. It's great to expose all these things, but until someone is arrested, charged with a crime, put in jail, or if you know, or they have, or they are charged with treason, and treason in our country, the penalty is death. Until there's at least one of them, I think the American people, I know I am, I guess I could speak across the country, are pretty frustrated about seeing all this crime. Think about that movie, 21 Mules. Where you actually saw people, they had faces, they had license plate numbers, they had people caught people in action stuffing the ballot box. They saw them. Nobody got arrested. Nobody got arrested, even though it was pretty obvious that we knew, or the police knew, or the powers that be knew who was actually committing that crime. Terrible. It's just terrible. So that's my diatribe for this morning. And I think we're going to talk about something more uplifting than that. You know, it's Easter week. You know, last Sunday was Palm Sunday, and you know, coming up on Easter this week, and there's a lot of sugary stuff going on in the diet. Easter baskets. I heard that because the price of eggs is so high that people are not doing Easter egg hunts and doing Easter egg coloring, and so that they're doing more things with sugary things. So if you as an adult want to gain control of that sugar issue this season, we strongly encourage you. And I take this every single day to get some to go and get a bottle of Touchstone's glucose control. You can get your first bottle for only $10. It stabilizes your blood sugar. I've been playing around with that a little bit. In the past, I've taken it in the morning, and it kind of helps with my intermittent fasting that I've been doing. But now I've found that I like to take it in the evening because I usually don't eat lunch. I usually eat my one meal a day, somewhere between 3 and 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And then I'll eat, meat, some vegetables, and just a nice array of things. But then I get a little munchy, like around 10 o'clock at night, which is the worst time in the world to eat, is to be able. I remember Oprah saying years and years ago that, that little bite on your lips puts inches on your hips when you go to bed at bed and when you eat something at bedtime. So I've been taking my glucose control about an hour after dinner. And that takes down that munchy feeling, after dinner, so that I'm not inclined to feel like I got to eat something before I go to bed. So you can play around with that a little bit. See where it fits, where it works for you best. Michelle just showed you the bottles that are up there. And I think that I can't see my screen up here very well. I don't know if Cookie put the link or Michelle put the link into the chat.
I put it into the chat after tea.
Okay. Where you can get your first bottle for just $10. And I think there's 60 in the bottle. So that's for a 2 month. You just take one a day, so that's a 2 month supply. Another one of their products that I just love is their boot. They call it Boost. It's really an amazing product. I take it almost every day, somewhere around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's like right before I eat my meal, I'm getting a little blood sugary, down, dropping, and I'm feeling sleepy, like I really want to just take a nap. And so I take two of these boosts. Michelle only takes one. It says to take three on the bottle. I take either one or two, and it just sort of turns up the rheostat a little bit. It doesn't get by 2 in the afternoon, I'm kind of coffeed out. I don't want any more coffee. But it gives you the feeling of having a couple of cups of coffee without being jittery, that it just like clears the cobwebs out of your brain. So that's another of their products that I take every day, and I almost every day, and really have enjoyed it. And I think that you will too. That I guess the girls were talking about the Parashield before I clucked in this morning, and I've been taking that too. And I've really, you can put it in water, you can put it under your tongue. I really like the taste of it. It's kind of spicy. And not spicy like cayenne pepper, hot spicy. It just has some spice to it, like alcoves or something, cloves, that kind of like cloves, that kind of spicy, or oregano oil, that kind of spicy. And I think that maybe cloves and oregano oil. I know that walnut husk seeds and are in it, but it's one dropper full, which equates to 10 drops twice a day. And without doing TMI, too much information here, I have noticed a distinct difference in my bowel movements. So I think that something is happening in there. I've been doing it now. I've been taking it now for, this is my second week, and they recommend taking it 3 weeks on, twice a day, and 1 week off. So something is changing in my stomach, something's coming out of there. So I hope that you will try that too. And I think that is it that special still on for that, Michelle? That you can get your first bottle for, what is it, $5,
I
$15?
believe it's first bottle for $15.
First bottle, yeah, for $15. So it's really worth it. So, and MyPillow has a classic bed sale for comforters that they're saving up to 74%. When you clock out, please be sure to put in DRT. I'm just getting ready to buy some stuff from them. I love their coffee. I stacked up on their coffee. I need some new kitchen towels, and so I always like to go and support Mike Lindell and what he's doing. He's just up against it, man. They are after him like you wouldn't even believe. So any support that if you're going to buy something for your house, your household, something that they sell, please patronize MyPillow. I mean, if you're going to buy it anyways, buy it from somebody that you want to support and use their discount code. I mean, I think, our code gives us, I think it's around 15% off. And so take the, use the discount code because that benefits us. It benefits you because you get a discount. And it for sure benefits Mike because then he makes the sale. The same thing about the wellness blanket. We've talked about the wellness blanket in the past, and I love it. I travel with it. I take a larger size suitcase just so I can take my wellness blanket with me. It's a queen size, but I lay on it and then pull it over top of me like a burrito. And it's just there's just something really cool about it. It's hard to put into words, but I still recommend that. And if you use DRT as your affiliate code, you get 10% off on that. They have multiple sizes now, and I've talked to that gal. She's a re that makes them. She's a really great Christian lady, and she's actually shipped them to Australia and to the UK and to South Korea after we've been talking about it on our show. So, it's Mother's Day's coming up here. It's right around the corner. That might be something you want to, as a family, you want to consider getting for your mother. It really does help you sleep better. It's very relaxing, and you don't get it wet. You don't throw it in. The pillow, the blanket itself, it's made out of palladium thread, and you're not to get it wet. So I went to MyPillow and I bought a duvet that goes over top of it. So when I l wash my sheets, I pull the duvet off. And then you're supposed to, about every 6 or 8 weeks, lay the pillow or lay the blanket somewhere outside in full sunlight because it recharges that the palladium in it and just recharges it. It balances your pH, helps your kidneys. It's kind of a EMF, a little bit of an EMF blocker, not huge, but at least a little bit when you can charge it up by just laying it in the sunshine. And then I got a duvet, an Egyptian cotton duvet from MyPillow. And I use our discount codes too. And I think all my staff does. If you're going to buy something from one of us, I mean, we use our own affiliate codes. It gives us a discount and it puts a little bit of money in a bank for us. So, kind of like, so we all use it. You should use it too. And I really want to say again, and I usually start the show with this, but I'll say it here, that I'm really super grateful for all of you that have become Tenpenny Prime members. This month it has been about reproductive health and infertility. The educational white paper got posted last Wednesday, and today on Wednesday in your portal, you will see a recorded presentation about HPV, a little bit about the vaccine, but more information about human papillomavirus and what you can do about it. Because you don't have to do colposcopies and all this other stuff. So it's a pretty long, it's a little bit more than an hour presentation that you log into your portal and you have to use the email address that you used to sign up for Tenpenny Prime. When we our customer service, so people say, I can't get into my portal. I'm going to say a large percentage of the time it's because you're not using the right email address to be able to log into it so that you can watch that educational program. And next, is it, it's not this Saturday. I believe it's next Saturday. We're doing female reproductive health with Dr. Kimberly Biss. And then the last Wednesday night of the month, we're doing a male reproductive health with Dr. Jonathan, and I can't ever pronounce his last name. It's spelled kind of funny. So he's a really young, aggressive, a smart urologist from the Maine area. I got introduced to him through Dr. Christian Northrup. And then next month, for the month of May, we're going to be doing central nervous system and brain health. And I've already started working on the information for that. And so You don't want to miss it. These are wonderful sorts of things. And last month, we had GI Health. We had our Ask the Expert with Dr. Bashima Williams. And I'm telling you, if you miss that, which as a member, that's these Ask the Expert, it's kind of hard to say, are part of your membership. Or you can, just log in, you can purchase it, but it's less expensive if you just become a member. And so it's, that was, I mean, all of us, I learned a lot from that. I was asking her questions during the interview on the Ask the Expert interview that we did, which was a little bit more than an hour. I was asking her questions that I wanted to know. So everybody learned a lot, during that, including me. So, the Tenpenny Report has chemicals and the destruction of men's health for this month, which is a really good article because this is men's reproductive health and infertility. I did a COVID, I did a Substack on COVID shots and infertility. Walking with God is a sacrifice with Isaac. And if you're not getting our emails, I think we only do two emails a week now. But on the Friday email is where it's Friday favorites, where we have special deals on products and special promotions, special. My Substacks are listed there. There's a next the week coming up, the Substack guide and I'm sorry, the podcast guide. Who's going to be on our podcast? Because remember, we broadcast every day now at 11 a.m. There's a podcast for us every day. Monday is This Week with Dr. T, which is kind of a newsy, current events, great interviews with authors on This Week with Dr. T. Tuesday is Happy Hour with Dr. T, and I usually an author that's a Christian businessman, Christian businesswoman, a pastor. That's on Tuesday. On Wednesday, of course, here you are with me this morning, which is Morning Coffee with Dr. T. Thursday's Throwback Thursdays on Substack, and then Thursday is our deep dive podcast on this month we're doing it with Dr. I'm not he's not a physician with Justin Prock about Bible eschatology, and eschatology is end times things from about the Bible. It's really, really interesting. So that's on Thursday, and Friday is from the archives that a lot of our podcasts that we had over the last couple of years were really, really good. And a lot of people didn't get to see them because they were part of our membership. And so now that we're pulling all of our podcasts forwards, we are making them available on Friday from the archives. And Monday, we've got on Substack, we've got Monday Minute, and Tuesday's Testimonial Tuesday. And, gosh, there's so much that we do. I have a really active team. And then we just released my new book. It's finally out. Yay! I've been feeling like I was 10 and a half months pregnant with this thing, getting it launched, but it's finally launched. It's about 400 pages. It's called Zero Accountability in a Broken System. And you can find that right there. You can get it on Amazon now, or you can link to it from our site. Zero Accountability in a Broken System: How Big Pharma Weaponizes Vaccines, Public Health, and the Law. And so I'm really proud of it. It came together really, really well. The last set of the, you have to reread your own book several times as it goes into the editorial process. And so when I hadn't read it for about 4 months because after a while you get kind of sick of it because you're just reading it and reading it, reading it, reading it. I mean, Jackie is such a trooper. Oh my gosh, she's read that book. I can't tell you how many times, looking for edits and all these different things. And so when I looked at it the last time in the last editorial process, I'm reading it and I'm going, this is really good. I can't believe I wrote this. This is really good. Turned out to be a little bit longer than what I had planned, but there's so much in there about bird flu, regular flu shots, adjuvants, about weaponization, how public health became weaponized, about the Healthy People Program, about electronic medical records, about the PrEP Act and the horrible things that happened inside of the CICP, the Injury Compensation Program, which There's just a lot there. And I kind of put as much in it as I could because I don't know if I'm going to write another big book like that. I might write a series of ebooks or some things that I'm working on, but this is my pride and joy. So I hope that you will buy it. I hope that you will read it. Suzanne Humphreys did the foreword, and she said, I really thought that I knew all this stuff until I read your book. And then the way that you wrote it and the way that you put it together really, really makes brought it together in different ways than I'd ever really thought about before, which is such a compliment from Suzanne. I mean, she's such a good friend of mine. I was really honored for her to write the foreword on the book. But then when she actually said, this is really amazing. It's really good stuff. I hope you'll like it. And I hope that everybody goes out and buys it. Tells your friends. So we have one question in here, and then I will be clicking out just a little bit early today because I have to jump on a another interview right after this. The question is, what would be the reason for me taking a fiber supplement is like What would be the reason that taking a fiber supplement is like doing a colonoscopy prep? Not even the full recommended dose. I don't know the answer to that. But if, fiber is a bulking agent that helps you to have a bowel movement. So, and one of them, and so it bulks things up, it stretches your colon just a little bit, which stimulates the movement forward called peristalsis. So maybe the fiber is just stimulating your colon to get the stuff out that needs to come out. So it's that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. And if you coupled that with some Parashield, if you're really having a lot of bowel movements, the normal amount is that you should. It's funny because when you talk about bowel movements and you talk about stool, people get a little queasy and a little eh about it. But it's just part of normal things. It's like talking about tears and saliva and urine, and it's just part of what we do. And so it's part of it's eliminating waste. And the elimination of the waste, they've done studies that they've said that some people are lookers and some people aren't lookers, meaning that after you poop, some people look in the toilet and some people don't. And for the people that do look, you should, over the course of the day, evacuate at least 12 inches of stool because that goes through your sigmoid colon about halfway up your descending colon. And that needs to be on a daily basis moved out. And so if you're taking fiber and it's making you go more, that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. I would add in, like I said, some Parashield and to make sure that you're getting any sort of parasites that might be in your colon, which everybody has them, really kind of move that out from that perspective. Okay, there are no other questions in the chat or in the Q&A. Any idea, any on Rumble Cookie?
I have nothing on Rumble, Dr. T, but I wanted to close out with this message that we got from Polite Dog saying, I love your passion. Thank you for your commitment to saving our children and their parents from the poisons.
That gave me goosebumps. You're
Cookie, are you
welcome.
crying?
What's that?
I was saying, Cookie, are you crying or I'm not crying? You're crying. I would hope that everyone that listens to this episode and everything that Dr. T puts out there lights the fire under themselves to get just as angry and just as passionate and move yourself to do something, because the only way it's really going to get done is if we all get up and do it ourselves.
Amen to that, Cookie. It is so true. And I know that not everybody has a lot of extra time. And particularly if you've got a special needs child, or even if you're a single parent, or time is we all get 24 hours a day, and we need to sleep about a third of that, somewhere between 6 and 8 hours, and then we got to eat. And then we got to, there's things that we have to do. So there's only limited time. But let me tell you, wait, I'm closing out here because then I have to click off and go on to another show. But this is my little activist chat. What I say is, look at your family calendar. Look what's already there. Know, where you have to take your kids to soccer or to school or whatever, or your appointments or the things you've committed to. Almost everybody has a family calendar these days. And it's either, on your computer, hanging on your refrigerator, or it's on your phone or somewhere. But there's a family calendar that's already full of commitments of things that you have. So print it out and take a look at it. Really, seriously, print it out. If you've got more kids, there's probably more things on it. Print it out and look at it and find little spaces throughout the week that are empty. And let's say that that adds up the 5 hours a week that you can find of, a half an hour here and a half an hour there or whatever. Then take a black magic marker, something that can't be erased and it can't be moved. And the only way that you can move it is if somebody dies or you die. It's going to be there. And ink out some time that that is your activist time. And then, now you've fitted into the schedule that already exists. You're not trying to change the whole schedule to fit in your thing because that causes great confusion, and it doesn't last long term. You might be able to do that for a couple weeks, but then, you kind of drift back into where you came from. So, ink out as much time as you feel like you can afford, and then decide what cause you're going to get behind, because there's a zillion of them. It can be anything from animals to save the whales to owls to children to fighting vaccines, things, fighting your school board, getting involved with the public health service in your community, educating people, going to shelters, women's shelters, men's shelters. But always keeping in mind that you're trying to do something good for humanity and better their health. And then find out who the local organizer is in your community to support that cause that you want to commit your time to. You call around, make some calls. Then I say commit to it for 3 to 6 months, maybe 4 months. You're going to do this. It's on your calendar in black ink. You're going to do it every week on time with those people for 4 months. Then at the end of 4 months, think about if that cause, if you feel like you've gone as far as you can with it, or another one has come up. The time commitment is already inked into your schedule. So now you can take out Save the Whales and you're going to put in animal shelters or human shelters or educating, giving community talks at your community library. I mean, I could go on and on and on, but you can be as creative or more creative than I can. It's what really floats your boat. And then that way, if there are 1,000 people that are now, or even 100 people in various communities across the country that are now putting in 5 hours a week, that's 500 hours of moving the ball forward. And every activist community needs your help, wants your help. Yes, everybody wants your money, and and you can choose to donate or not, but what they want more than your money is your time to stuff envelopes or make phone calls or go door to door or give a community talk or whatever you're going to do. They want your time, and this is how you do it, and you can make it stick and really make a difference. So with that, I'm going to have to run. Is there anything else you girls want to add for today? Michelle? Okay.
Nothing at all.
No, that was great. I hope everybody has a chance to go to Amazon and pick up that book. And please remember, even if you bought the ebook, you can still go on to Amazon and write a review. The more reviews that they get, the better it is so that we can rank higher and people will see it higher. I know that's a strange thing that, playing in the devil's playground there, but this is the way that more people will actually be able to see Dr. Tenpenny's book up on Amazon, and how important this book is cannot be overstated. This book needs to be in everybody's bookshelf, in everybody's hands. I'm not even kidding. I'm not saying this because I work with Dr. Tenpenny. This is a book that homeschoolers need to have in their hands. And distribute to, like, I know there's homeschooling groups like Heidi St. John and other people. They need to have this as part of the curriculum, because if the parents don't understand it and the children won't understand it, everybody needs to understand the law, the history, what's coming through that needle, the corruption, what happened with VAERS and why that didn't work. And if you guys are not all angry about that, then I don't know what to say. But everybody needs to have this book in their hands and share it with others.
Well, that wasn't even a paid advertisement. That was just that was really good. So, but seriously, I hope that everybody really does get a copy of the book, because I really do think you'll like it. And it's not just dry medical facts. People who have read it have said it reads like a suspense thriller. So I hope that you'll get it. You will enjoy it. Easter is coming up this Sunday. We hope that you'll spend time with the Lord. Whether you do it in community, in church, on your own, with family, remember that this is the reason that we have the whole season, is the death and resurrection of our Lord. So that's coming up this week. So until that time, we want to close out with one of my favorite verses from the Bible. I close all my podcasts with, whether they are live or pre-recorded, and you guys should have this one memorized by now. Romans 12, 12, rejoice in hope, be patient in trouble. Because trouble will come, and always be persistent in prayer, even if it's just like a little, thank you, God, I can walk today. Thank you, Lord, for that there's food in my refrigerator. Little tiny prayers, persistent in prayer. So until the next time, remember to lean into God, trust Him for everything. He'll never let you down. Get a copy of the book, get in active, be an activist, and we will see you here, same place, same time next week. Have a great week, everybody. Thanks, team. We'll talk to you later. God bless. Goodbye.
Zeolite is a detox spray. We work specifically with a company called Touchstone Essentials. They are an incredible company. We've been working with them now for several years. And zeolite is a mineral that goes through your body like a one-way basket. It will clean out heavy metals such as arsenic and mercury, aluminum, cadmium, and it hooks onto those metals from a one-way perspective. So once it's bound, it goes out through your urine or your stools and doesn't get redeposited in other places. Everybody needs to have a detox product in their life, and this one is so easy to use, and it's so safe. You can take it when you're pregnant, you can take it when you're nursing, you can give it to little children, you can even give it to infants, and quite frankly, I give it to my dog. I actually put a little bit of the zeolite in his water, because until we all stop living in a toxic world, we all need to get some of those extra toxicities out. The heavy metals, the persistent organic pollutants, the things that are floating through the air, the different things that we come in touch within our environment. And we are a big fan of zeolite from Touchstone Essentials. We've been a big, big, big fan of their products for several years.
Go to drtenpenny.com/detox to get your first bottle of zeolite spray.